If you're new with us or just visiting, we started a series 2 weeks ago called Releasing the Dove. And our series is all about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, sometimes it freaks some people out because they've been in churches or they don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, God the Father, that's easy to see, a father. Jesus the Son, right? Jesus is there's so much testimony about him in Scripture. It's easy to paint the picture of who Jesus is. But then sometimes the Holy Spirit's a little harder, right? We talked about 2 weeks ago that the Holy Spirit, he's holy, he's perfect, he's wonderful, but he's a spirit, he's invisible. We can't see it, necessarily can't touch it. There's not a painting of what the Holy Spirit looked like. But he's at work in us. And so this is the series we're talking about. We're talking about releasing the dove, of not being scared of the Holy Spirit, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life in a strong and powerful way. And I just want to remind you a couple of things. On the back table here, we have a handout with a lot of Scripture verses about who the Holy Spirit is and his work throughout all Scripture. So you can pick that up back there if you want to do some more Bible reading and just along with the series. And then secondly, if you're looking for a book, I would recommend a good book to you. It's called Goodbye Chicken, Hello Dove. All right, it's by Tim Enloe, and it's a very practical, basic book on the Holy Spirit. It's an easy read, but I encourage you, if you want to learn more from a Pentecostal, charismatic side, it's a great book, but it's Goodbye Chicken, Hello Dove, and the tagline is Releasing Your Fears by Welcoming the Holy Spirit's Power. And so I just recommend that one to you. If you want to get that book, and money's tight for you, come see me. The church will buy that for you, okay? And don't feel bad about that, but we want to resource and equip you with things. So let's dive in here into our week two here of releasing the dove. Today I want to talk to you about two words, truth and speaking. Truth and speaking. When we look at the Holy Spirit in Scripture, John 14 through 16 is the longest discourse we have in the narrative of Scripture about what the Holy Spirit is, his role, and why did Jesus give us the Holy Spirit. But the two words, there's two words, if you look through the whole narrative, you see that Jesus constantly talks about how the Holy Spirit is truth, and the Holy Spirit's always speaking or declaring. In your version, in NIV, it might say declaring, or the ESV might say declaring. The Holy Spirit declares. But the Holy Spirit, he's truth, and he's always speaking. And this is really one of the main works of his ministry in us, is that he speaks truth, and he's speaking to others. He's speaking to us. How many of you would say, Pastor Dan, I've felt the impression of the Spirit? I felt that small, still voice speak to me and say, hey, don't do that. Or, hey, follow Jesus, right? That's the work of the Spirit. His work is to draw us to Jesus. But I want to highlight these two words today as we journey on here, that the Spirit is truth and the Spirit is always ready to speak if we're willing to listen. If our ears and our mind and our eyes and our heart and soul are attuned to the Spirit, he is ready to speak. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I was growing up in the church, I thought, well, man, I had, hearing the Holy Spirit speak was this really complicated algorithm, and, you had to be really good for a week. I couldn't yell at my brother or, get in a fight with my brother, and I had to make sure I gave some money, and, I grew up sometimes thinking, man, it was really hard to hear the Spirit, but in reality, the Spirit is very simple to hear, and we'll be talking about some of that today here in this series here. But I want to show you a movie clip about truth. Sometimes we can't handle the truth. Have you ever been told that? You can't handle the truth. Have you ever wanted to know something, but once you knew something, you were like, oh, I wish I didn't know that truth. Have you ever been there? Right? You check your bank account. You want to know what's in your bank account, and when you check your bank account, you got $1. You're like, oh, I did not want to know my bank account was down to that much little money, right? But I'm going to show you this clip. It's a familiar clip. Probably a lot of you have seen this movie, but it's from A Few Good Men, and so... All right, Ron, you ready? Here we go. Here it comes up.
Consider yourself in contempt.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Boy, that'd be a fun day in court, wouldn't it? Right? All right. How many of you have maybe seen that movie, A Few Good Men, right? Yeah, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson there, right? So Tom Cruise is the attorney questioning Jack Nicholson. He's on the stand. He plays Colonel Nathan Jessup. And in that exchange there, Tom Cruise has been drilling him. He's like, I want the truth. And of course we see that famous line, you can't handle the truth, right? Sometimes in our walk with the Holy Spirit, we're like, oh, God, use me, I want to be used. And then the Holy Spirit speaks, and you're like, oh, Whoa. I don't want that truth. Hold on now. Right? The Spirit speaks to you. You say, hey, go talk to that. And you talk to your neighbor. You're like, whoa, Holy Spirit, I didn't want to know that truth. Right? The Spirit says, hey, you need to forgive your spouse. Well, come on. I don't want to know that truth. Well, the Spirit says, hey, you got to cut some of that those vices out of your life. Well, come on, Holy Spirit. Right? Right? How many of you have been there, right? You press God for an answer. Then when God speaks, you're like, oh, come on, God. I don't want that truth. Right? Well, sometimes it's like that with the Holy Spirit, right? We want more of God the Father. We want more Jesus the Son. But then the Spirit comes on the scene, and sometimes we're like, ooh, Holy Spirit, do you gotta bring that much truth into my life? The answer is yes. The Spirit's role is to convict us of, right? And is to rebuke us, to teach us, but it's also to help us, to encourage us, to be our advocate. But the Spirit's always speaking truth. It's just, do you and I want to know all the truth of who Jesus is and his word in our life? That's the question today. Are we willing to handle the truth in the way that the Holy Spirit speaks in our life? A lot of times we give an excuse to not knowing, not wanting all the truth. Now, in the movie, it goes on that the colonel, he breaks, he spills all the beans, and of course, the JAG attorneys get their victory and all that. But a lot of times in our life, as a believer, we give these five excuses for not wanting to know all the truth of what the Spirit wants to do in our life. It's a fear in which we say, you know, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. He speaks to us, and we say, I don't know what to do with that. Or, I don't have the training or education. Or, have you ever said that to Jesus? Jesus tells you to go do something, and you're like, I don't have the resources. All right? You're talking to the God that has everything. All right? Or the fear, you say, I don't have the time, right? You know, Spirit says, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to go help this person. I want you to go whatever it is. And you're like, well, I don't have the time. We make an excuse out of our fear. We say, I don't have the time. And then lastly, we might say, well, I don't want to know the whole truth because I'm going to make mistakes. Who am I? You ever said that to Jesus or the Spirit? Who am I? I'm just so-and-so in Sioux City, Iowa, just trying to get through this life. Who am I? We make these excuses to not wanting to have the whole Spirit of truth in us and the Spirit work through us. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, familiar verse, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Spirit wants you to take the truth of Jesus and speak it to the world. But a lot of times, we get fearful when we use some of these excuses to not wanting to know the whole truth and speak the truth. The power of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit from Jesus, it's our internal compass. It's our constant homing beacon to what is truth. And who is truth? And what is truth's attributes? Mainly, what is God the Father's attributes? His desires, his commands. The Holy Spirit wants to activate you and I today so that we will go out with the full knowledge of the truth and spread it to the world, right? Paul writes that God has now demonstrated his full knowledge to the church. It says it manifested to the church so that we can go out and tell the world about who Jesus is. And so here's what I want to ask us today. Do you find yourself not wanting to fully embrace the truth of the Holy Spirit or the full works of the Spirit in your life? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, right? Because sometimes you're like, ooh, Pastor Dan, but you know what? I'll raise my hand first. There's times I don't want to hear from the Spirit. Is anybody else with me? There's times that the Spirit speaks, and I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know the full truth. Oh, you're convicting me, Holy Spirit? I don't want to hear that truth. Come on now. I want to just be happy, be married, go to my job, you know, have some good barbecue after church with my friends, all that stuff. But are you here today? Are you finding yourself reluctant to the truth of the Holy Spirit in your life? Or to the truth that he wants to do more in your life? He wants to use you in greater ways in Siouxland, in South Sioux, North Sioux, around the Siouxland area. Are you finding yourself more open to that or more resistant to that? Today I want to talk to us just from this chapter 16, verse 12 through 15, about how, what it means to embrace the truth of the Spirit and the Spirit is there to download all of God's thoughts to you and remind you of all of what Jesus said to us in his word and to go out and activate you for a powerful ministry and how he's made you, each one of you. And here's the great thing. Today, the Holy Spirit is not going to ask you to be like me or to be like Donna or Tim or Naomi or Ben or Debbie or anybody. The Holy Spirit's going to ask you to follow him and follow the truth that he speaks to you that you need to go out and implement. So turn with me in your scriptures here to John chapter 16. It's going to be on your screen as well. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Let's read this portion here. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He's given this long discourse about what is the Holy Spirit. And today we're just going to highlight on this in this small section of Scripture. And it says in verse 12 here, I'm reading from the ESV translation. It says, Jesus is saying, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray, church. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son. We just ask that you would illuminate Scripture in our hearts and our minds and our soul. We say thank you that the Spirit of truth resides in every believer who calls on the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place right now. We just take a few seconds and we welcome you. We welcome your truth. Speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl, whether back in Kids Point or in the nursery, over at Heartland Baptist Church, at Radiant Life. We pray that, Jesus, you would speak through your Spirit to every person here in Siouxland. We pray that we would welcome the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in our lives, the truth that you, Spirit, want to speak to us today. So, God, we just say thank you for giving the Spirit. We say thank you for giving your Son, and we pray this all in your mighty Son's name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you just five quick key takeaways from this passage about the truth of the Holy Spirit, about understanding and knowing the truth of the Holy Spirit. Because we know that there's not truth and some partial truth. There's either truth or there's error, church. There's a lot of error out there. There's a lot of craziness, Christian talking, doctrine, heresy out there. There's truth or there's error. The Spirit is truth. And I want to make sure that you understand or walking in the path to hear the Spirit and know what truth is. Look at verse 13 here. First thing is this. He is a faithful and trustworthy God. Look at verse 13a. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Did Jesus say he's going to guide you into all heresy? Or he's going to guide you into paths that are going to be chaos and you're going to be overwhelmed and you're not going to know what to believe? No, the Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. The Spirit's going to remind you of what the Scripture says. In Romans 8, 1 through 30, in Psalms 25, 5, we'll read a little bit of this. In Romans 8, 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Spirit leads us. How many of you have felt the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life before? Raise your hand so people can say, testify, come on. So you, the men and women here, you are the sons and daughters of God, as Paul writes there in Romans, that you are able to know the Spirit. He's a faithful God. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor Dan, the Spirit has guided me out of many tricky situations before. The Spirit spoke to me truth and has protected me. There you go. The Spirit doesn't guide us. Yeah, Jeremy keeps raising his hand. That's right. Keep raising your hand, right. The Spirit guides us. He's a faithful and trustworthy guide. But why do we doubt the Spirit in our life? Why do we think, oh, I feel the Spirit's leading, but is that the right path? He is a trustworthy guide. Jesus, in his own words, reminds us that he's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to lead you down paths that are going to go down into some path where you're going to have to question God and be like, oh, who am I? Or lead you down some path that's going to be, you know, questioning who even Jesus is. No, the Spirit's going to lead you in paths that, yeah, it may be scary in the sense of he might push you past your comfort zone, or he might have you go talk to your neighbor, which you don't want to talk to, right? Talk to that coworker. But the Spirit's always going to lead you in truth, and he's trustworthy. Turn with me over to Psalms 25. Turn to Psalms 25, 5. It won't be on your screen here. But Psalms 25, 5. As we grow in the Spirit, we have to trust his leading. Trust his discernment. Trust that he's good to us. All right? Psalms 25, 5. It says, King David, he writes, he says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for I wait all the day long. Are you praying that over your life, as David said when he was speaking to the Lord and speaking to the Spirit? Do you ask the Holy Spirit, guide me and teach me in truth, Holy Spirit? Remind me that God is my salvation. Remind me of the words of God in the Holy Scriptures. Are you asking yourself that, as King David said and prayed many times over his life? But if I could just encourage you, church, today, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Have a heart and a mind that trusts him. Is not skeptical. He's not going to lead you in error. He's not going to take you down paths that are that are deceptive and wrong. Secondly is this, in verse 13b, the back part of it, is this. I want to remind you, he is constantly speaking. The Holy Spirit is constantly speaking. In the second half of this verse, it says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. In this back portion of verse 13, it's a constant, it's a present, always happening. The Spirit's always speaking. Jesus didn't say the Spirit will speak and then be done. It's a one time, if you miss it, oh shucks, you miss the Holy Spirit's speaking. It's a consistent, in the Greek here, it's a consistent moving speaking to us. And so turn with over to John 14, just two pages back, a couple pages back in your Bible. Look at verses 16 and 17 in John 14. Remember, this is the same discourse Jesus is speaking about the Spirit. And he says right here, and I will ask the Father in verse 16, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. For you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In the language here, Jesus is using the constant presence. It's a continuing presence of what he's writing. And so here's what it is. It's just that he's constantly speaking. It's very simple. The Spirit's always speaking to us. It's just, are we willing to accept the truth? Are we willing to listen to him? He's a faithful God, and he's always speaking the truth to us. But sometimes in our walk, as we journey with Jesus, sometimes we think he's not speaking. Have you ever been there? I've been there. We think, well, he's not speaking today. I'm all by myself. No, that's just not true. That's the enemy lying to you. The Spirit's always ready to speak as long as we say, Holy Spirit, speak. As long as we have a receptive ears, he's right there. And in this whole discourse, Jesus is speaking, reminding the disciples, remember, Jesus is going to be going away, and they're going to be writing where the Holy Spirit inspires them to write. And Jesus reminded them, I'm leaving, but I'm sending someone to continue on my ministry. I'm sending someone to be with you. You're not orphans. You're not alone. I'm going to send someone who's a faithful God who will always speak to you. Church, we should take such great comfort today. Whether you're in a good place, in a medium place, or maybe you're in a rough spot in your life right now, the Spirit is with you and you and you, and he's speaking if we will just listen to him. The next point, verse 14, is this, that he always points to the Word of God and to Jesus. Look at verse 14 here. Turn here in chapter 16, verse 14. He says, he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit will not contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to always glorify the Son and the Father. It's always to point his back. Now, let's be very clear. You've probably heard people out on the YouTube, on the internet, or heard some pastors that say things. You might have heard some people try to prophesy or say, I have a word for you. And whatever they speak or say, a lot of times it doesn't point back to Jesus. That's not the Spirit. I've seen it before where someone's trying to give a word or prophecy and it causes division and it doesn't bring unity and it tries to pull people away from the word or from something and causes division. That's not what the Spirit's role is. The Spirit, Jesus is right here, he says the Spirit will testify to Jesus. And so a quick discernment tool, someone says, I have a word for you or a thought or, hey, brother so-and-so, you know, hey, Sean, will you read this, what I wrote? If it doesn't point back to Jesus, if it's not glorifying Jesus, that's out of line, church. You know what we do with that? We just crumple it up, delete it, and we get rid of that. The Spirit's not going to lead you. The Spirit is going to lead Naomi. Can I use an example? The Spirit, oh boy, she's rolling her eyes, yeah. The Spirit's not going to lead Naomi to go out and to murder someone. That's not going to glorify Jesus. Spirit's not going to lead her to go out and rob a bank. Now it's going to glorify Jesus. The Spirit's not going to lead her out to go out and to belittle someone out in public. That's not the Spirit of Jesus. So once again, we have to remind ourselves, the Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And the Spirit's not going to ask you to go out and to go burn down a building and like, woo, no. Because it's not going to glorify Jesus. You guys are getting my drift where I'm going, right? The Spirit's going to use you to glorify Jesus. But that might mean he's going to go ask you to go out and talk to somebody and share your faith or go out, maybe pray with somebody in your workplace or pray with the neighbor. And that might be intimidating you, but what does that do? That glorifies Jesus, and it goes back to Jesus. The Spirit's always wanting to point back to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's voice and its power always flows in the directions of Jesus. So if we're in here and someone wants to say, I got a word, or you know, they come to you and say, well, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying this or that. If it doesn't flow back to Jesus, you know what do you do? Say, well, thank you, brother and sister, but that doesn't point back to Jesus. I'm going to move on from that and move on. John 14, 26, it says this, we just read it. It says, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things and help you bring remembrance to what I have said to you. And then in John 15, 26, it says, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus is reminding us the Spirit will always bear witness about Jesus. And so, church, we don't have to be scared of welcoming the truth of the Spirit in our life, because it's going to bring you and I closer to Jesus. It's going to bring us closer to Jesus. I've seen sometimes people, they push back against the Spirit. I want to know Jesus, but I don't want to, the Spirit, I don't know that. I'm concerned. I've seen abuses of it. But church, welcome the Spirit in your life. Release the fear of the Spirit, because the Spirit will draw you closer to Jesus, and he's going to help you know Jesus and know his plans for your life here. The last two things really quickly is just this. Verses 13 and 14 there, the B, is that the Holy Spirit declares God thoughts. The Holy Spirit's one of his main roles is to bring the thoughts of God to you and I's hearts and our minds, and which I call the God thoughts, God thoughts. You ever had a God thought in your life? You're doing something and you had a thought and you're like, man, that's not for me. That's got to be from God. That's the role of the Spirit. It's not, you know, the old Disney movies, if you're older in here, you remember the little Jiminy Cricket, your conscience, remember that one, the old cartoon? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't sit on your shoulder. He's inside of you. He lives in you. He breathes in you. That's the Spirit speaking in the small, still voice and reminding you that those are the God thoughts, right? I remember, have you prayed to fix a problem? I remember one time I was working on an engine and I did before YouTube days, and my dad wasn't there, and I could not fix it out. And I remember I got so mad, but I remember Jesus said, ask the Spirit to guide you. And I remember these verses here, and I just said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to fix this cylinder head. Can you please show me? Now, some of the religious people might think, well, gee, the Holy Spirit won't teach you how to fix an engine, Pastor Dan. Well, no, I disagree with you. The Holy Spirit's there to help you in all things. And the Holy Spirit showed me, I'm telling you, it wasn't my thought, because I'm not that smart as a mechanic. He showed me what I needed to do, and boy, it worked, and it's worked fine ever since. But whatever you're facing, the Spirit is there to bring the thoughts of God to your mind, whether it's you're facing a situation in your family, your marriage, your school, your finances, whatever it is, ask the Spirit. In Isaiah here, in Isaiah 48:14, it says that God alone declares. And in these verses in Isaiah, I'd encourage you to go read these. In the book of Isaiah, God makes a challenge to all the nations of the ancient Near East. He says, I alone declare the future. I alone declare where men and governments go and the places they reside. I alone have the power to speak things into existence and to bring things that seem that they couldn't happen, but bring them into fruition. And this word here, the word declare, has this word picture that the Holy Spirit will declare the things of God, the future things that God wants to do in our life. And when we look at this here, it mentions the word declare three times here. Jesus said the Spirit will declare the things of God, or declare the things to come. The Spirit alone here shows that he is the part of the fully Godhead, that he is fully God in the sense that he can speak to us what is to come, or he can guide you. He can give you a thought of, hey, don't go down this road on this day. Don't go to that appointment. Or, hey, take this other path. Or, hey, go speak to this person or that person. The Spirit alone has the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in that it can direct our future and direct our paths. And we need to be welcoming the Spirit. And I would encourage you later on, read these verses in Isaiah and just see how God paints a picture that he alone is in control. And that if our God is for us and if he's working in our life, then man, church, we need to trust the Spirit that he's going to work and guide us here. Lastly is this, our Father and Savior are generous. Our Father and Savior are generous. Look at verse 15 here. Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Church, we don't serve a stingy God. Think about this. The wisdom of God that created the neurons, the atoms, the water, the planets, the sky, everything we have to build this church, everything you have, the metal to make your car, the money you have, God designed it all. And his manifest wisdom and presence before the earth was formed, God did that. And now Jesus says, whatever the Father, whatever he has, he's given to me, and now I give to you. That is a generous God. That's not a stingy old grandfather up in the sky being mad at us. That is a generous, loving Savior and Father who says, I will give to you freely. Turn with me over to Ephesians. We're going to read Ephesians 1 here. It won't be on your screen, but the reference is here. Ephesians 1. 3 through 14. And I want to read this. And in your Bible, it might have a subtitle that says Spiritual Blessings in Christ. And I want to end on this. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God wants to speak the truth to you generously. He wants to give to you the thoughts of God and bring God's wisdom and power to your mind, to your life. But you've got to have a generous mindset as a child and as a son and daughter of God. That the Spirit wants to do this. So look at here at verse 3 through 14. Remember, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the young church. He says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Man, church, we could stop there. Our God is generous and he's loving. "In him, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Now, there's a lot in there. You may not understand all that. Maybe you're new in your faith, and there's a lot of things we could spend a lot of time talking about this. But can I just sum it up as this? Before you and I were born, before the earth was formed, God made a plan for us to know him. He made a plan to redeem us back from our sins. He sent his son Jesus as the redeeming sacrifice. And then Jesus said, "I'm going to go back to the Father, but I'm going to give you the Spirit." The Spirit who is the down payment of our inheritance. And the Spirit who's going to remind you that the Father and the Son are with you and you're not orphans, and that you have a ministry, you have an inheritance, you have a worth, a purpose, a value. That's what Paul's writing here, and it refers back here to this last point of verse 15, that whatever Jesus had, him and the Father had, he gave it to us, church. Our Father and Savior are generous. Now, maybe you didn't grow up with a generous father. Maybe you grew up in a hard house, or maybe you didn't grow up with a generous mom. And maybe life's been hard for you. I don't know where you're at today, but can I encourage you? You now, if you call in the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a generous Father. He's your Father now. Amen. And through his Son, he's given you everything. Right. Now, you may be rich, poor, you may be unemployed, employed, doesn't matter. That's not what we're talking about, the riches. It's talking the riches of relationship, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. We have the family of God here to belong to. That we have a purpose and a life. And I want to encourage you today to release the fear of the Holy Spirit and release him to speak the truth in your life. If it's a good truth, let him speak the good truth. But maybe if it's a hard truth, release him to speak the hard truth in your life. Let him do some pruning in your life. Let him encourage you where you are running strong. Maybe how many of you, maybe you'd say, "Yo, Pastor Dan, I'm running. I feel like I'm really following Christ right now." That's great. Come on. Keep running your race and let the Holy Spirit encourage you and strengthen you and fortify you in those ways where you are giving that area to Christ, whatever that is. But if you're running in areas that aren't where you know you need to go, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. And let him know that he's going to remind you of what Jesus said, and that Jesus doesn't bring condemnation. He brings forgiveness. He doesn't excuse sin. He forgives it, and he helps us out of the sin to walk in his ways by the power of the Spirit. And so here's just my closing for us The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today the truth of God's wisdom, his plans for your life, the words of Jesus, and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is waiting to speak the truth to you. But my question is, can you and are you ready to handle the truth he has for you today? There's a lot of times we want Jesus, but we don't want the Spirit. Well, Jesus says, "You can't have me without the Spirit. And you can't know me without the Spirit speaking the truth about me." And today, church, I want to encourage you that we need to walk in the truth of the Spirit, not air, not what some other preacher or some book says, but what the book alone says and what the Spirit alone says to us. And my prayer for you today is that you will be ready to handle the truth. Of when you ask the Spirit questions, when you go before God in your quiet place, or when you're driving your car, you're walking the neighborhood, and you say, you know, God, speak to me. I pray that your mind, heart, and soul is receptive to that. And that whatever the Spirit speaks, if whatever he says, you'll be willing to say, yes, Lord. Send me, I'll go. Or yes, Lord. Just like when the young Samuel, remember Samuel was the boy in the temple with Eli, the prophet. Remember Eli kept getting woken up. Samuel kept hearing God speak to him. And little boy Samuel would go, Eli, you know, what you call me? And what did Eli say? He said, next time, he says, ask the Lord. Lord, speak to me. Your servant's listening. That's my prayer for you, church, today, is that you'll be able to handle when the Spirit speaks to you. And that you won't back up and you won't put up barriers. Because you know that our Father and the Son are generous. And they want to speak to you and to you and you and you and to you today. That's my prayer for us. So stand with me as we close. I'm just going to pray. And let's position ourselves. Let's just take a moment. Let's position our hearts and minds and soul for the Spirit to speak to us right now. You pray in your own way, but just call out to him in your own way. But let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. We've been inviting you here every week, but just during this series, Holy Spirit, we want to just take a minute to pause, and we invite you here. Come speak to our mind. Come speak to our mouth, to our heart, our soul, our hands, our feet. Come speak to every part of us, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we want to know you more. You said that if we welcome the Spirit, he will remind us of all the things that you taught us and gave us. And so, Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here in this place. Come strengthen us. Come be our helper. Be our advocate. Comfort us. Remind us that we serve the Prince of Peace and that we have the peace of God in us today. Holy Spirit, we are grateful that you want to speak to us today. We pray over the kids in Kids Point. We pray over the kids in the nursery that their hearts and minds would be open to you, Holy Spirit, today. We pray for our fellow brothers and sisters that aren't here today, maybe for a spouse or a grown child that's not here. We pray that they today would slow down and welcome you, Holy Spirit, in their life today. For we know you won't guide them in error or away from Jesus, but you will guide them to Jesus. You will guide them to the Word of God. And we say thank you for being our faithful guide. Thank you for being our trustworthy guide all the days of our life. So Holy Spirit, go with us today as we go out today, as we enjoy food and fellowship today. Speak to us even at the table of fellowship. Speak to us as we drive home. Speak to us, God, as you did this, the young boy Samuel, as when we lay down tonight. Speak to us. And God, may we be quick to say, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. And Jesus, we just say thank you that you are generous and that you lavished all so much love on us that I can't even comprehend it. And to the one who doesn't feel your love today, I pray that Jesus, they would know that you are trustworthy, that you are loving and you're faithful and true, and that you are drawing them today closer to know you. Thank you, God, for all you're doing. Thank you for the hands that have made food today. Blessed Jesus, and we pray in your strong and mighty name. Amen. And amen.